Chapter 39. The spell took effect at once. Time seemed to slow down as Emily lifted her sword, seeing the goblins inching towards them in terrifying slow motion. Part of her mind noted that they were ugly creatures, humanoid with big eyes, bigger ears, and very sharp teeth. The rest of her focused on fighting them. She sprang forward as the goblins lifted their weapons and sliced through the lead goblin's neck. The goblin collapsed, greenish blood leaking from its neck, but Emily barely noticed, or cared. Berserker hummed through her system as she threw herself at the goblins, moving far faster than the tiny savages could hope to match. It was easy to avoid their stabbing blows and slice them apart. A goblin lashed out at her, but he moved slowly, and Emily found it easy to dodge. Her confidence was building rapidly, along with her strength. She slammed her sword into the goblin's makeshift armor and sent the little creature stumbling backwards. Another goblin leapt in and cut her with a knife, but Emily felt nothing. Berserker countered pain while the spell was operating, leaving her unheeding of the blood trickling down her arm. She knew that she would pay for that afterwards. The sense of invulnerability was an illusion, but she found it hard to care. The spell held her firmly in its grasp. Magic flared beside her as Jade and the rest of the team fought with their various powers. Goblins died in flame or froze solid before toppling over and dying. The sergeants fought with a cold precision and power that was all the more terrifying for having no berserker aiding them. Emily felt her blood pound in her ears as she lashed out at the final goblin and cut it apart just before the world started to spin around her. The world faded to black. The next thing she noticed was that the sun was starting to set. She was lying on the ground, dazed. Her head was spinning and she felt incredibly weak, while her body ached with pain. It took her several minutes to remember the goblins and the blurred memories of the fight, where she'd killed at least a dozen creatures while lost in the battle trance of Berserker. The memories rose up in front of her and she swallowed hard, unable to repress the feeling of sickness at what she'd done. She'd killed intelligent creatures. Creatures that might be cousins to humanity, and she'd done so without even caring. Even the knowledge that the goblins would have killed them all if they hadn't been killed first didn't make her feel any better. Jade knelt down beside her and tapped her shoulder.
Are you all right?
Dizzy, Emily said after a moment. Berserker took a lot out of her. In hindsight, it might not have been the best choice of spell for the battle, but without it, would she have been able to fight so effectively? What happened?
You killed a dozen goblins, then collapsed, Jade said. I think you won the battle single-handedly. We killed the remainder and then fled away from the tunnels, carrying you with us. Keep your voice down, a gruff voice added.
Emily twisted her neck. It was suddenly difficult to move, and saw Sergeant Harkin standing there.
We're still being hunted.
Emily tried to stumble to her feet, only to be held down gently by Jade.
You need to drink another potion, Jade said, passing her a gourd.
He must have carried it with him through the city, rather than leaving it in the tent.
Berserker nearly killed you.
I know, Emily admitted. Mistress Irene had warned her that the sensation of power, of being utterly fearless and invulnerable, was addictive. But the spell drained magic and then it went onwards to drain life force. If she'd been alone, eventually the spell would have failed, leaving her in the midst of angry enemies and drained of all her power. Why didn't you use it?
You didn't have enough experience to fight without it, Harkin said.
There was something in his tone that bothered Emily, before she realized that she'd turned into a liability. She would barely be able to walk for hours after using the spell.
Can you walk now?
Emily finished drinking the potion. It tasted foul, unsurprisingly, and managed to stumble to her feet with Jade's help. Her legs felt like useless sacks of potatoes, no matter how hard she tried to force them to move. Only the sense that she was slowing down the rest of the team kept her upright as she leaned against Jade, eyes darting from side to side. They were hidden within a small forest of trees, with no sign of any more goblins, but she couldn't escape the sense that they were being watched. Harkin was right. They were being hunted.
We had to carry you as we fled the Dark City, Jade said, filling her in as the sergeant walked back to the watchers. They said that going into the tunnels would be too dangerous, We'd either be caught by the goblins or attract attention from other creatures as we fought our way through them. But we've heard sounds from other goblin hunting parties.
Cat looked up as Emily staggered back into the group.
I've never heard of goblins operating in unison, he said grimly.
There was a fresh, nasty-looking scar running down his cheek, far worse than the scar they'd inflicted on Emily in the fight. Someone had bound the wound, bandaging it with a shirt.
They're not known for being friendly souls.
Maybe someone has been encouraging them, Jade offered.
He picked up a fruit and passed it to Emily, who was too tired to care what it was. She nibbled it gratefully and dropped the remains in the hole they'd dug to bury all traces of their passing.
We're not that far from the necromancers.
Emily shivered. Had the goblins set out to capture her? The thought was a terrifying one, yet she couldn't see how the goblins had known in advance that she would be coming, let alone get organized in time to try to snatch her. And they had tried to kill her when she'd been fighting them. The memories welled up in front of her eyes, and she felt sick. She'd killed, slaughtered, intelligent creatures and felt nothing. Not until afterwards. Had they deserved to die?
It could be a great deal worse,
Harkin said, keeping his voice low.
We all assumed that the mountains blocked the necromancers from advancing forward unless they went through the pass, but if they've managed to find a tunnel or cut one that allows them to outflank Whitehall, we could be in some considerable trouble.
He looked around, his dark face furrowed in thought.
We're going to have to move out in 2 minutes. Your orders are simple. You are to head back to Whitehall and inform the Grand Master whatever happens. Someone has to report that there may be a tunnel allowing the necromancers access to the allied lands.
Jade frowned.
Don't you have a mirror? One isn't working and the others were lost in the fire, Harkin admitted. We have to assume the worst.
And the worst, Emily knew, was that the goblins were being led by a powerful magician, one powerful enough to cow the inhuman creatures and jam the mirror Harkin would otherwise use to summon help. A necromancer wasn't needed specifically to disrupt communications spells. Any dark wizard could do that. But the sergeant was right. They had to assume the worst. A full-fledged necromancer might be following them, intent on killing them, to add their life energies to his power. She scowled as they hid the remaining traces of their presence and prepared to move out. If they were lucky, if there was a necromancer chasing them, they would be able to outsmart him and escape. All the sources agreed that necromancers were prone to arrogance, overconfidence, and self-delusion, but they'd also been very unclear on how to actually defeat a necromancer in open combat. Don't be silly, she told herself as they started to slip up the pathway around the nearest mountain. None of you are ready to fight a necromancer. Even Void only gave Shade a bloody nose and ran. The march rapidly became a nightmare. Emily felt tired, so tired that she knew if she closed her eyes, she would fall asleep and never get up again. But she had to keep going, somehow. Twilight had fallen, leaving the shadows to spill across the ground and creating brief suggestions that something was watching them. Emily clutched her sword tightly, looking into the darkness as if she could catch something and skewer it before whatever it was could react. The sensation of being hunted kept growing stronger, even though they saw and heard nothing, not even birds in the sky or small animals on the ground. After experiencing the life running through the land surrounding Whitehall, Emily found that ominous. Harkin dropped back to walk beside her for a long moment, his twisted face concerned, even worried. Emily wanted to tell him to leave her, knowing she was slowing down the entire team, but she held her tongue. She was really too tired to speak.
It never gets any easier, Harkin said softly.
Emily blinked in surprise. Compassionate words from the sergeant, either of the sergeants, were few and far between.
Killing goblins isn't too far from killing humans, he said.
Emily nodded. Back home, the only person she had ever seriously considered killing was herself. She wasn't one of those people who took a gun into school and sought bloody revenge for real or imagined slights, and she'd certainly never thought about joining the army. Perhaps that was why Berserker had consumed her. That spell made it impossible to care at the time that she was slaughtering the goblins, which might have been why Jade had ordered her to use it. She'd had no time for reflection, let alone self-doubt. If she had, it might have killed her.
They would have killed us if we had been lucky,
Harkin added a moment later.
And if we had been unlucky, they would have done far worse.
Emily nodded. She'd read about goblins and other monsters that infested the mountains before she'd gone on the field trip. But they rarely bothered humans unless their victims were completely alone. They knew that the nearby human cities would mount punitive operations. It was quite possible that someone had stirred them up and sent them against the red shirts, or that the team had simply been very unlucky. There was no way to know for sure.
"Just hold it together until we reach home," Harkins said. "After that, if you want to talk about it."
Emily shook her head and concentrated on putting one foot in front of the other. In truth, she didn't know how she felt about killing the goblins. Part of her felt guilty, even though she knew they had intended to kill her. Part of her took a secret delight in slicing through the creatures as if they had been made of paper. And all of her training had paid off, even if she had needed to use Berserker. The time she'd spent exercising and practicing swordplay with the red shirts had not been wasted. They plunged into darkness as the last remaining flickers of sunlight vanished below the mountains. Jade and Sergeant Miles both cast spells intended to illuminate their path, which shaded the entire world in an eerie gray light that made Emily's head ache. She kept going somehow, keeping a watchful eye out for traps. But she was so tired that she suspected she would just walk into a trap even if she saw it. The semi-darkness outside the range of the illumination spell was playing tricks on her mind. She thought she could see all kinds of creatures lurking beyond the pool of gray light, just waiting for their chance to strike. All around them, the forest slowly came to life. Emily heard birds and animals calling to one another in the distance, a series of chirps and bird calls that eventually gave way to hisses and a single terrifying roar. She had never been interested in mundane creatures, so she couldn't remember if there were lions in this world or not, but it certainly sounded like a lion. The roar faded away and was replaced by howls, each one more terrifying than the last. But Sergeant Harkin didn't seem bothered. In fact, she heard him chuckle quietly under his breath.
"Ah, the children of the night," he said. "Hear how they sing."
Emily gave him a sharp glance. Whatever was making those howls didn't sound like something she wanted to meet, certainly not when she was too tired to use magic or even lift a sword. On the other hand, the sound was certainly encouragement to keep going rather than slowing down to take a breather. Who knew what else, apart from goblins, might be chasing them in the darkness?
"Get down," Jade snapped. "Now."
Emily dropped to the muddy path automatically as something hissed through the air above their heads. Arrows crashed into the trees and fell around them. She realized in horror that they had blundered into another goblin ambush. Harkin had kept them moving hard, hoping they could stay ahead of the goblins, but they'd failed. The goblins were displaying a degree of cooperation that, according to the books, they never showed. How could they, when no goblin could trust his rivals not to betray him? It suggested that they definitely acquired a strong leader.
"Crawl forward," Harkin ordered.
He was holding his bow in his hand, searching for targets.
"Extend the lighting spell towards them, now."
The goblins didn't have lighting spells, Emily realized, as she crawled through the slimy dirt. They didn't need magic to see in the dark, and they apparently couldn't see the spell that the team had been using to light their way. Harkin, Miles, and Cat shot back as soon as the goblins came into view. The goblins hadn't bothered to take cover because they'd known they couldn't be seen. And three goblins toppled backwards, arrows driven through their skulls. Emily crawled faster at the sergeant's command, silently grateful that they'd lost their baggage when the goblins had burned down the tent. It would only have slowed them down, as well as making them a bigger target.
"Keep crawling," Harkin hissed,
looking back towards where the goblins had been. The remaining goblins had dropped for cover as soon as they had realized they could be seen, effectively concealing them from human eyes.
"Don't slow for anything."
Emily was too tired to care that they were crawling through mud, mud which seemed to be covering the remains of a fallen building. Behind her, she heard horns as the goblins called for reinforcements, perhaps using them to direct other teams of goblins into position in order to intercept the human fugitives. She found herself wondering just how well the goblins knew the forest, before realizing that they, unlike humanity, probably spent most of their time within the mana-rich environment. They probably knew it as well as they knew themselves. A second volley of arrows shot through the air, out of the darkness. Emily heard someone grunt in pain and cursed inwardly.
They'd been hit. Bran, Jade hissed. Sergeant, he's been hit. I'll deal with him, Harkin snapped back. Keep moving, crawl south, and pray that they don't come after you. Emily hesitated beside Bran's groaning form before Harkin growled at her to keep moving south. Bran had been pinned to the ground by the arrow. Emily winced in sympathy as Harkin reached under Bran's chest and snapped the arrowhead away from the wooden shaft before pushing Bran forward. Everything she knew about first aid screamed at her, insisting that Bran shouldn't be moved at all, but there was no choice. The goblins would catch him if they left him behind, and they'd do much worse to any captives than merely ramming an arrow through his chest. The sound of goblin horns grew louder as they kept moving, Harkin half-crawling on his knees as he carried Bran. More arrows hissed at them out of the darkness, as if the goblins were trying to wear them down before closing in for the kill. Their tactics made no sense to Emily until she realized that the goblins had good reason to fear magic. They couldn't be certain that the magicians were completely drained. If she'd had enough magic left to start a fire...
We couldn't outrun it, even if we could set the forest on fire, Harkin said when she suggested it. Forest fires can spread very quickly.
Emily could feel the goblins closing in on them as they pushed their way through the remains of another city, now half buried in the mud. Bran was groaning as if he'd become delirious, which was a very real possibility. Emily couldn't remember enough about medicine to be helpful, but she did know that he needed a healer. Hell, they should have put him in stasis right at the start. Alas's time freeze spell might make the difference between Bran living or dying, if Emily could recall how to cast it, and if she'd had enough magic to use it.
Good thinking, Jade said.
Oddly, his approval sent a flush of warmth running through Emily's tired body. He stumbled back to where Harkin was still holding Bran.
Sergeant, we can freeze him, and then carrying him will be impossible, Harkin snapped tiredly.
He sounded utterly exhausted, his composure finally breaking.
We have to get him to a healer. We need somewhere defensible, Miles called back.
There didn't seem to be any point in stealth any longer. The goblins certainly knew where they were.
You want to head for the Temple of Tat? We don't have the manpower to hold it, Harkin countered.
There was a pause.
But there's nowhere else to go.
It was already too late, Emily realized, as the goblins came swarming out of the darkness. Somehow she found the energy to lift her sword and parry a thrust that would have skewered her just before a goblin shoved her into a stone wall. The world spun around her as the wall collapsed. She fell into darkness. She heard a final howl from the goblin. And then, silence.